So many of us would know the thrill of stealing something, whether it's taking advantage of the self-scanners at the supermarket or illegally downloading an album. The National Art School has put together an exhibition which celebrates the idea of theft in a distinctly Australian way, where deliberately getting caught in the act becomes part of the artistic process. So I'm joined in the studio by the curator of Caught Stealing, Jamie Tsai. Good morning.
Good morning.
So I'm really interested in this idea that stealing is an acknowledged artistic practice for a lot of these featured artists, which we'll get into a little bit later. But can you just tell me or tell everyone a little bit more about what are some of these strategies? How do they manifest in these works?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm interested in the fact that Australian artists, like you just said, are really interested in these strategies of theft from, you know, all the way back in colonial times. It's, you know, it's part of our Australian history, really, founded on imprisonment. But a lot of these artists are interested in issues of piracy. So you have artists like Soda Jerk, for example, who fly the pirate flag high and say, you know, we don't like people monopolizing culture. So we're going to actually sort of take the images of MGM, for example, chop them together. And of course, they're all things that we totally recognize and enjoy as, you know, part of our everyday life, but it becomes subversive when it's translated into a new meaning. So there's that. There's works of collage. There's found objects like Louise Paramore's plastic toys and things that become completely new sort of creatures. And yeah, we just have a great deal of different techniques and mediums being used as well.
So obviously stealing is against the law. Mm-hmm. To what extent does that kind of legal element play into the practice of these artists? Has anyone got in trouble for the stealing that they've done?
That's a really good question. It's funny, speaking to Soda Jerk about this problem, they haven't had many issues. It seems to be as long as you're an artist who pretty much earns no money whatsoever from, you know, from your acts of theft, those big companies are not really interested in suing you. But that being said, it's always a risk. And so I think, you know, part of the naughtiness, I guess, of the concept is that you might at any time actually be, yeah, caught.
It's pretty kind of telling that no one will care unless there's money involved, which is quite, I guess that's like the main distinction between piracy and music, or yeah, compared to art, which is interesting. I'm particularly interested in Daniel Boyd's work, so which contributes to the ongoing discourse about the ethics of collections and the influence of colonization in museums globally. So in this work, he has repatriated stolen Aboriginal skulls from the Natural History Museum in London. Can you maybe just tell us a little bit more about this work and why you thought it was fitting for Caught Stealing?
This is one of the very first works that I chose for the exhibition because it's just spine-tinglingly awful in a way. He went on a residency to the museum, and as part of his experience there, he found these really sort of simple, neutral, objective office boxes, and those office boxes contained the skulls of Aboriginals and, you know, Indigenous Australians. And what he managed to do at his time there was that he was able to organise with the museum to repatriate those skulls back to Australia. So now what he has left is those boxes. And what's wonderful is that those boxes on display in the exhibition tell us a little bit about the way that Indigenous bodies in history have been absolutely used as artefacts, you know, part of a taxonomy rather than treated like, you know, human beings. So it's a really awful work, but it's a really important work as well for the exhibition, speaking about theft and repatriation.
Yeah, so also the theft through that work goes both ways in terms of who's stolen what and who it belongs to. So, yeah, these artists openly, I kind of mentioned how if they get in trouble, did he get in trouble in any way for, like, did the London Museum, do they know about that kind of commentary
that he's
making?
That they were absolutely part of the repatriation. And so, you know, it is sad, though, that it takes an artist to actually say, look, this is deeply problematic, that these bodies are in a museum, that, you know, they're sort of disenfranchised, they're exiled from their home. And so, no, they were absolutely part of it, but it took Daniel Boyd to actually say, no, look, we need to take these back home.
Definitely. So court stealing also challenges the idea that nothing is original anymore. How do the works redefine originality and authenticity?
Well, I think a lot of the works are quite political in bent. A lot of them deal with issues of social justice. And I think, yeah, absolutely everybody copies, but these artists absolutely are interested in that notion of the need for acknowledgement of the original in order to recontextualise the meaning. And in that sense, they're challenging the ownership of language. So most of the works in the show are about challenging power structures and sort of destabilising language in that way.
Mm. And so the notion of stealing also relates to the history of NAS itself, which is the National Art School where the exhibition is held. In your curatorial approach to the exhibition, how were you influenced, or were you influenced by that environment and the history and heritage of that building?
Totally. It's a really interesting site. I mean, now it's, of course, a creative arts institute, but its history is huge. It's got a complex history. It is first and foremost, of course, Gadigal land. And it was Darlinghurst Jail for many, many years. And in fact, the space that is the gallery now was a men's jail cell. And so, you know, it was a sort of a space to hold people, imprison people. And now it's a site to sort of think about ideas and, you know, share dialogue about that history. So it's incredibly important.
And what role do you think this idea of theft in art making has in challenging discourses about, you know, contemporary narratives of colonization and things that we deal with in a colonized nation?
Massive. So, like I said, because it's Gadigal land, it's really important to have some artists who are dealing with theft in terms of, you know, Australian context. And downstairs in the gallery, we've got Destiny Deacon and Virginia Fraser's work. And a lot of those are dealing with theft of language, theft of culture, theft of land. And with Destiny Deacon's adoption, that looks specifically at the stolen generation. So theft is absolutely critical to dialogues in Australia, and it's important that those discussions are raised.
And what would you like people who perhaps haven't seen much theft in art or an exhibition of this nature to, what would you like them to take away if you could desire an impact in any way?
I think, you know, that the whole point of making the show was to have like a really diverse array of contemporary Australian artists. And I hope that there's something for everyone. And I've noticed throughout the, you know, the showing of the exhibition, it's only been on a couple of days, but everybody seems to have their own particular artist that they're drawn to. And there is a little bit of something for everyone. And so long as it starts a conversation, that's the most important thing for me.
Conversation's always a great place to start. Thank you so much for joining me on the show. That sounds wonderful.
Thank you so much, Nicole.